she's one of our newest members, and I thank God for
her. Hallelujah, Charles. Love you, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to call you our father.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us this man this week. God, I pray you'd use him for your honor and glory. You know what we need to hear, and God, I pray you'd do that for him and for us, God, that's needful, that we give you all the glory for everything you do in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Charles. Hallelujah. You got a copy on me back there, JD? All right. Hallelujah. Joy to be here. Appreciate you coming. We got a good Monday night crowd.
Amen. Good crowd.
Hallelujah. Old brother Ken Frady got me into this and then went on to heaven. This ain't but half what he got me into. He'd been preaching a revival down on the coast of Carolina, Emerald Isle, since 1998 for a man. Up and died. And so Brother Rodney called Miss Frady and he said, what in the world am I going to do? We ain't got good Sunday school teachers down here. And I just preached a meeting up Mountain View number one for old Brother Ken, and she sent him the CDs, and he said he listened about 3 minutes of the first and turned it off and called me, and I've been going ever since. And I'll be down there next month, middle of next month. I tell you what, the old Interstate 40, that's a long, boring trip, I'm telling you right now, buddy. Across North Carolina. Don't look enough like the mountains of Beulah Dean suit me, brother. No, sir. But I count it a great honor, Charles, to be here and been invited back. Amen. And what a blessing that is. I've got a whole row of my family back there, and they threaten to shoot me if I have them stand up, so if I want any breakfast with biscuits in the morning, I better keep my mouth shut about them, hadn't I? And got my two grandsons. Peyton graduated up here Friday night. I was there, Drones and Valdez, you know, high school. And he was a senior class president, and he had the floor. Stacy up here, I reminded him, I got the floor tonight now. Yes, sir. Boy, I tell you, them youngins, bless my heart, they prayed in Jesus' name. And what a blessing that was, seemed to honor the Lord, buddy, and honor God. And that teacher that gave the commencement speech, I never wanted a microphone as bad in my life, boy, and pick up where he left off. On gifts, boy, that he all but preached, you know. But when people get talking about Jesus, they've got my attention. Yes, sir. And this choir singing tonight, hey, Howard, where'd you go? Right there he is. I was bragging on a tie he had on one night. Had all the books of the Bible on it, you know. He just took it off and gave it to me. And somebody told me, said, I think his wife got him up for their anniversary. I said, she's going to kill him? Sure as a word. But I want you to know, brother, I wore the hound out of that necktie. Amen. I get compliments on that, but I ain't giving it away now like you did. I'm going to hang on to it as long as it lasts. A lot of you I know, and some of you don't. Me and old J.D. back yonder preaching some together all the way up in Alapice and mountains of North Carolina. And it's just a blessing to be back. Burke, you my kind of people. I want you to know that. I feel at home, amen, around here. And I said a liberal walk in here, he'd be out of place as a piano in a Church of Christ convention, wouldn't he? I'll guarantee you. And, What a blessing it is. All right, you got a Bible tonight. Them boys used to tell me, and there's little old fellas, Charles, they'd say, now, Pappy, get us out before McDonald's closes. Well, I ain't going to promise you that tonight. Now, boys, I'll say it like this. I'll get you out before Waffle House closes, all right? And that'll work. Fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I was telling this brother a while ago over here, you stood before the same crowd 42 years like I have, and they're sitting there writing and dating it on you. That'll keep you praying, buddy, and talking to God, I'll guarantee you. And he said, somebody told him here a while back, you preached that 3 years ago. He said, yeah, and you watched I Love Lucy 3 years ago, and you ain't grumbling over that. Hallelujah. That's the way they'll treat you. I couldn't understand. You know, Brother Ken, he's big as I am, and he took karate and studied karate. I said, man, what in the world? I mean, you intimidating enough, just look at you. And he said, you don't know them people in Burt County. And he had classes in karate, and bless his heart. And boy, I asked him, you know, and he told me he's at Mountain View number one. And I said, are they number two? Oh, yeah. He said, they're number two up there on 181. And I stayed with Beth and Herman, the boys, when I preached up there for him. And we left down here, Stacy and Morganton, where they was living then. They're in Valdez now. And pretty day. Got up there in 6 inches of snow. And time we got out, just more than that. And he had an old man up there, a preacher, you know, close to 100. And he called me boy. I said, man, I like that. Hallelujah. That old man, I don't know if he's still around or not, but I'd like to get him around and call me boy again. Thank God. All right, Jesus is talking here. Matthew 5 and verse number 47. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Father, I thank you for your word this time together in the good house of God here in the tabernacle. I pray you bless somebody here lost. I pray they get saved. Somebody with another need, they bring it to you now and find help at thy hand. Dear God, somewhere down the road, I'll bow down, praise you, and glorify you. Tell everybody you did it all. For it's in Jesus' name I do humbly ask. Amen. And you can be seated. And if you salute your brethren only, Jesus said, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Now this Pharisaical crowd was a boasting. Look at us. Look how we love each other. Look how we salute each other. Look how much we care about each other. And Jesus called her hand. He said, hold on. Wait a minute. If ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publican. So now who's this publican crowd? That's a crowd didn't claim to be nothing. What do you more than others? And boy, I tell you something, church, we're going to have to get beyond that others crowd if we win anybody to the Lord. You better not sit around and wait on that others crowd to reach your family for God. It ain't going to happen. We're going to have to get way beyond that others crowd if we ever accomplish anything for the Lord. He said, what do you more than others? February the 2nd, 1968, Cam Lo, Vietnam, two platoons of American Marines was pinned down and being shelled by North Vietnamese regulars. They're so outnumbered that they knew that they'd soon be overrun and all of them would be killed. A young Marine by the name of Larry Maxim from Glendale, California, 20-year-old, left his place of temporary safety and manned a machine gun, and for 2 hours he held the enemy at bay while all the rest of them retreated to safety. After 2 hours, he'd been hit so many times with small arms fire, he fell across that machine gun and was dead. He was posthumously decorated and awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, highest award the military's got to offer, given to those that have gone beyond the call of duty. Right there's where I'd like to pull over and preach a little while tonight on going beyond the call of duty. Getting beyond that others crowd. Going beyond the call of duty. Dwight D. Eisenhower, as president, hung that medal around a young soldier's neck one evening. And he said, "Son, I'd rather have the right to wear this medal as to be the president of the United States of America." Having gone beyond the call of duty. And right here's, Charles, what I got to thinking. If our government has got medals for those that have gone beyond the call of duty, I believe our God is going to take note of them one of these days. That crowd that's gone on and beyond the call of duty. Well, I picked up on some very quickly in the Word of God that I believe will get that award. That Medal of Honor, boy, for having gone beyond the call of duty. I had a little old friend, William Jackson, lived in Spartanburg, South Carolina. He used to drive me. And he'd drive out of Spartanburg and take me to Chattanooga, Tennessee to preach. Just a little fella. We're riding along one night, and I got thinking about, brought this message back to my mind. Riding along one night, and I happen to remember what William told me. He said, "Preacher Bob, I never did tell you." He said, "There in Korea," he said, "it was my job as a truck driver to take new soldiers up to the front lines and bring the wounded back." He said, "That was my job." He said, "I sat down, got my supper one night, LMK rations, and sat down to eat." And he said, "They called my name over the intercom and said, 'Jackson, your truck's ready to leave.'" And he said, "I had a friend that came over and said, 'Jackson,' he said, 'I've already eaten supper.'" And he said, "You've not. Go ahead and have your supper. I'll take this load for you." He said he did that. He said less than 2 miles up the road, that truck was hit by artillery fire, and everybody on board died. Right here's what William said. He said, "You know something, Brother Bob? That man died for me." I said, "William, I wasn't in Korea, but I can point to heaven tonight and say that man died for me." Yes, sir. And buddy, I get excited when they sing about the blood. Hallelujah, and the cross. The price that Jesus paid to keep me out of hell, boy. That man died for me. What a God's blessing that is this evening. First one God held out to me, 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. I saw a man named Caleb. Boy, that when it come to applying for a job, pleading for a job, old Caleb said, give me this mountain. Yes, yes. You see, we live in a world, everybody wants that easy job. I just hear old Joshua say when he's dividing up the land, boy, Caleb, I saw a beautiful little valley the other day with a stream through. What a wonderful place for you to retire. And I'd hear old Caleb say, hey, wait a minute, Joshua. You ain't retiring me, buddy. I want this mountain. Now, what you've got to know, that mountain was infested with giants. Yes, sir. He said, I'm 85 years old and I want this mountain. I used to preach a meeting, an annual meeting, in Mitchell County, Cloudland Presbyterian Church, for an old preacher by the name of Robert Young. I touched on Caleb one night, and I was 85 and wanted that mountain. Old Brother Robert stood up and he said, preacher, I'm not 85, but I'm 84, and I'm a wanting this mountain. I believe God gave it to him. I went back and had his funeral 3 years later, and the grounds wouldn't hold the people. They had to turn people away. Couldn't park the cars even. And I believe God gave him that mountain. From that day on, I never called him Robert. I always called him Caleb. Amen. I never called him Robert after that. He wasn't that fiery of a preacher, but that old man could get a hold of God. He sat over here stationed in something like a lazy boy chair, you know, and he'd pray heaven down on me while I preached. And my God, he'd get a hold of the Lord, boy. And I called him Caleb from that day on. And so when it come to pleading for a job, here's old Caleb, went beyond the call of duty. Amen. He could have took that little old peaceful valley, couldn't he? Amen. Probably Joshua had offered him. 50 years ago, I was Sunday school director, Unicoi Baptist Church, Unicoi, Tennessee. I had a woman, one of my teachers came to me on one occasion. She said, Bob, you're going to have to get me another class. I said, why? She said, them boys too mean. I can't handle them. I said, honey, pray tell me who needs a teacher worse than a mean boy. I knew where she's coming from because I'd substituted for her, brother, time or two. There's one old boy in there run his mouth, you know, full time. I just stopped. I said, hey, now, wait a minute. They can't listen to me and you both. I tell you what I'll do. I'll sit down. You get up here and tell me, please, Bob, don't do that. I never had no more trouble with that youngin. Amen. After that, he sat there quiet as a lamb, boy. Yeah, I told that one. I said, pray tell him who needs a teacher worse than a mean boy. Amen. But everybody wants that class, you know, where you give them a coloring book and they sit there and draw pictures and whatever and no problem. My God, that ain't going to be on the call of duty, is it? Amen, like old Caleb. Yes, sir. Luke 21. I'm looking at a woman that went beyond the call of duty when it come to putting something in the plate. The Bible has said that Jesus sat over next to the treasury. He always does. See, not only does he see what you put in, he sees the balance on the checkbook. Yes, sir. You know, somebody's talking about you preach. Hey, we got enough preachers here not to make this meeting or kill it one. Thank you, men, for coming. I appreciate your presence in this place. But I'm satisfied that at least half of them can tell you they've been accused along the lines of all they want to talk about up there, money. Money. I told one feller, I said, Jesus here, he'd have something to say about it. You know, Jesus had more to say about your financial status and about stuff than he had to say about heaven or hell.
Yes, sir.
Because he knew that there'd be people let that stand in their way and take them to hell when this life's over, man. Yes, sir. And Jesus saw what she put in. Two mites, but is all she had. What did Jesus say? He said, she's given more than they all. Yes, sir. Now that woman could have got by and give nothing. I'd never been the wiser. But she went beyond the call of duty. Boy, I'd like to be somewhere around when rewards are handed out, wouldn't you? And see that woman go up and get hers. Amen. Listen, for going beyond the call of duty. Blessed be God. 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I'm looking at a supper. Simon the leper's house. One thing, he ain't no leper no more. The carpenter from Nazareth has passed by. He's been cleansed and made whole. And at that supper, somewhere in the course of the evening, Mary jumped up, ran out of the house into her house and got the most expensive thing she had. Brought it back, broke that alabaster box and poured it out on the feet of Jesus. Somebody said, hey, that'll have been sold and given to the poor. Some devil always have something to say, won't they? Jesus said, you always got the poor with you. Amen. Right here's what he said. He said, let her alone.
Let her alone.
She hath done what she could.
Amen.
I had here a while back, I had a touch of that old Hong Kong flu or whatever it is, you know. And I went to the pulpit that night. And I said, now, I ain't going to be able to do a whole lot. But I said, you better let me alone because I'm going to do what I can. And that's what Jesus said, to let her alone. She hath done what she could. You're doing what you can. The crowd better let you alone. Amen. He's still looking on the scene, ain't he? Yes, sir. And my friend, he said she... given more than they all. Went beyond the call of duty when it come to putting something in the plate. There's an old farmer up our way told his pastor, he said, preacher, he said, if I had 50 pigs, I'd give 25 of them to God. He said, what if you had 40? Would you give God 20? He said, I sure would. Well, he said, if you had 20, would you give God 10 of them? He said, I sure would. Well, he said, if you had two, would you give God one of them? He said, now, preacher, you know I ain't got but two pigs. It's easy to give pigs you ain't got. But the Lord's looking at what we do have and what we're doing with it, ain't he? And so when it comes to putting something in the plate, hallelujah. Then, boy, when it comes to praising the Lord, I'm looking at two Baptist preachers that went beyond the call of duty. Acts 16:25, thank you, Lord. Old Paul and Silas down yonder in that old jail. And they sung and praised God at midnight. I heard old John Jasper, that black preacher out of Richmond, Virginia, wax eloquent on one occasion. And he said that singing got to sound so good to God. And my preachers are singing at midnight. That God said, hey, angels, come in on the alto. Yeah. And said the angel got to singing alto. And he said it got to sound so good, God said, I believe I'll hit that bass note. And said when God hit that bass note, the world thought it was an earthquake, shook that old jailhouse to pieces, and set the captive free. Now, I don't know if it happened like Jasper said or not, but bless God, it happened, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Pretty soon, they're free men, man. Hallelujah. Because they went beyond the call of duty. Amen. When it come to praising God, glorifying God, I just hear old Paul say, hey, Silas, I feel like singing. How about leading us in prayer? And they sung praises to God at midnight. And then when it come to praying, I see somebody that went beyond the call of duty. His name's Daniel. Somebody came to him and don't you know and said, Daniel, they put out the word, no more praying to our God. And here old Daniel said, I'll have to pray about that. Kept on flinging his windows open toward Jerusalem three times a day. Now, he didn't have to do that. He went beyond the call of duty and he throwed them windows open, Stacy. He could have prayed in his closet, couldn't he? Nobody been the wiser. He could have avoided that den lions, couldn't he? Yes, sir. Did you ever notice the Bible calls it den lions? It could be the lion's den and not a lion in it. God wanted us to know there's lions in there, boy. And they wasn't half dead either. Ferocious man-eating lions. Threw Daniel in there, laid his head down the shaggy mane of an old lion and slept till the day dawned. Huh? Come morning, that old king looked in. He said, oh, king, live forever. Hallelujah. He went beyond the call of duty. He flung them windows open, said, oh, look here, world, I ain't ashamed of the God I'm a-praying to. Hallelujah. Boy, I'd like to be somewhere around. See, them medals ain't been handed out yet. I like that old song they used to sing, Charles. They can't crown Jesus till we all get there. Well, I get there, man. What an honor it's going to be. Boy, I'd like to have some kind of crown to pick up and hand to the Lord and say, you're worthy of this. Now, I said, if I know Jesus, I believe he'll pick it up and put it on your head and say, how about wearing that throughout all eternity for me? Yes, sir. What a God's blessing. I tell you, folks, we just don't appreciate the privilege of prayer like we ought to appreciate the privilege of prayer. We don't pray big enough. Man, we serve a big God. Huh? We ought to pray big. Huh? Preacher up our way was street preacher. You know, he's preaching downtown right in front of a big fancy restaurant. Penniless, didn't have a dime to his name. He said, God said, go in there and get you a meal. He said, God, I ain't got no money. He said, I said, go in there and get you something to eat. He said, I just went inside. He said, I ordered large sirloin, baked potato and a salad, the whole nine yards, you know. He said, right here was my line of thought. I'm going to go to jail. I ain't got no money. And he said, I ain't going to jail for no hot dog. Man, he ordered steak and all went with it. And he said, He's enjoying that steak, and he said the awfulest looking fella come bursting in there, make Grizzly Adams look like a Boy Scout. And said he's a hollering, "Where is that old street preacher?" He said, I looked at him and I said, "My God, I ain't gonna live to get to jail. He's gonna kill me." Said somebody said, "Why?" Pointed him out, said, "Right over there he is. Why?" Said, "I'm gonna buy his supper." Said, "He's been a blessing to me." I got to thinking about this, folks. We pray too many hot dog prayers. Huh? Yes, sir, my God, we serve a big God. We ought to pray big. Hallelujah. Amen. Get it to God. I was preaching a meeting in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. I went to the pulpit, Charles, and that pastor said, "Wait a minute, Brother Bob." He said, "Old preacher so-and-so's here." And he said, "He's got the most wonderful testimony." I said, "Brother, come up here and give your testimony before Preacher Bob brings a message." An old man somewhere between 80 and 90, he got up and held to the wall and come down. I was in the pulpit, and I just stepped back. Now I'm standing 3 feet behind that old preacher. And he said, "Me and my wife went with my oldest son to Pigeon Forge last month." And he said, "We hadn't got all of our stuff in the room yet, out of the car, till she had a massive heart attack." He said, "We rushed her down to Sevierville to the emergency room, and the head nurse said, 'I'm sorry, folks, we don't have a doctor on call.'" He said, "I dropped my head and I said, 'Dear God, my wife's going to die. We need a doctor.'" He said, "In 5 minutes, there's a doctor standing over my wife." Amen. Not a general practitioner, a cardiologist. Amen. And he said, he asked me to leave the room. And he said, I stepped out in the hall. He said, what seemed to me like an eternity, that doctor came out, looking downhearted and discouraged, shaking his head, and he said, "I'm sorry, sir, I lost her." And he said, "Doc, I got to see her." He said, "I'll go with you." He said, "I stepped into that emergency room," and he said, "the first thing I saw was that monitor that had straight lined." And he said, "My wife was already turning purple and black." And he said, "Doc, I got to pray." And he said, that doctor backed up against the wall. And he said, "I bowed my head over my wife's lifeless body. And I prayed, 'Dear God, I thank you for every minute you give us together. I thank you for the children you gave us. I thank you for all the good times, God, that we had along the way. But God, I don't know how I'm going to make it without her. I don't know how I'm going to go on without her. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." He said he walked out of that emergency room, and he said, "I didn't get 10 feet down the hall. That doctor came screaming out of that room, hollering, 'Sir, I don't know what's going on, but your wife's coming around.'" Now I'm standing 3 feet behind the old man, and I'm entertaining this thought: I ain't leaving Hamilton County till I shake that woman's hand. Hey, I didn't have to go nowhere. He said, "Honey, would you stand up?" And a little old gray-haired woman, Stacy, stood up over on my right. And that little old woman shouted the victory, boy, while I preached that night. I'm telling you, we serve a big God, man. My God. I'm a telling you, we're praying hot dog prayers. We ought to be a praying big. Amen. Talking to God about these situations. Hadn't we? Yes, sir. What a blessing it is that we can get around this old altar. Talk to God that big. Boy, he stood there, Lazarus, come forth. The dead came forth, bound hand and foot. You see, that's what caused Mary to jump up and run and get that alabaster box. There sat with them, the Bible has said at the table, Lazarus. She looked down and saw her brother that used to be dead. And he ain't dead no more. And boy, something welled up in her heart and she said, I'm going to have to do something for him. Run got the best she had. Hey, she ain't got a thing on me. My wife sitting back there, was a time in her life she's spiritually dead. But thank God Jesus, preacher, gave her life. I get to want to do something for him. My grandchildren, I've had the privilege of baptizing them. Thank God, and they got right with God. Beth back there is a little old five-year-old girl. Walked down after I preached one Sunday morning and invited Jesus into her heart and got saved. Heaven bound tonight, boy. I look back there and she ain't dead no more in trespasses and sin. She been given eternal life. I get to want to shout glory and praise God and glorify God. Hallelujah. Get to want to do something for the one to give her life, J.D. Praise the good Lord. Amen. That book's full of them. But where do we stand tonight? Hey, they're going to be people live and die never done their duty, let alone going beyond the call of duty. That crowd was a boasting, bragging what they was doing, saluting their brethren. Jesus said, hang on, fellas. What do you more than others? Hey, people will tell me, why go to church? My God, lost people go to church. I sat in my driveway and witnessed a man one day and it was raining. I sat in the cab of his pickup truck and tried to win him to the Lord. And he sat in my daddy's Sunday school class for years and never was saved. Far as I know, the man died without God, went to hell, went to church every Sunday, put money in the collection plate, and died without God and went to hell. Well, I go to church. Lost people go to church. What do you more than others? Yes, sir. Jimmy Carter, in his earlier years, attended a naval academy. I believe that man is pretty good shape spiritually at one time. And he's been, Carolyn, been to his church, Plains, Georgia, years ago, and he's teaching Sunday school at that time, that Baptist church, Plains, Georgia. And that corrupt crowd got a hold of him in Washington. And he'd attended this one academy and had applied for another. And in order to be accepted, he had to stand before the famed admiral, one of the most well-known men in history of the Navy, by the name of Rickover, in order to be admitted to that academy. And old Admiral Rickover asked him, said, Carter, how'd you do in this other academy? Boy, he thought he'd be complimented when he said, sir, I graduated 59th out of 800. But he got no compliment. Instead, another question. And that old admiral said, Carter, did you do your best? He shook his head. and said, "No, sir." And then another question, "Why didn't you?" Hey, church, we're going to stand before the Admiral of the universe one of these days. Don't be surprised if he don't ask, "Did you do your best? Why didn't you?" Hey, folks, I'll no doubt live and die never having done my best. But if God knows my heart, I won't do better. My God, I've got an urge to do better. Where's my pianist at tonight? Come to the instrument. Amen, honey, come on. Last one, that church hymnal, if you can do it. "Jesus, keep me near the cross. Be my glory ever." Hey, that crowd was a-boasting. Look at us. Look what we've done. Jesus said, "Hang on, fellas. What do you more than others?" Hey, I never take for granted everybody's a Christian. You here tonight, lost and undone without God, He'll save you if you'll ask Him to. You can leave here and go home, pillar your head, not have to worry about hell no more, having made heaven your final destiny. You ought to come tonight. Invite Jesus into your heart. Make a reservation for glory in Christ Jesus. Then there's others of you say, "Preacher Bob, I'm a child of God." Hey, what have you been doing more than this others crowd? Well, you say, "Preacher Bob, God's help. I'm going to get beyond this others crowd." Come on, tell Jesus. Come on, tell Jesus, will you? Right now, God loves you, wants to help you if you'll let Him. As we stand all over this building, you may be from this area and affiliated with this meeting or some other meeting somewhere or affiliated with no meeting. God's speaking to your heart. Come on to Jesus. You'll never regret it. God bless you, sir. God bless you, little girls. Amen for your honesty. You say, "Preacher Bob, can't I settle it right where I stand, I suppose. But did you ever stop and think everybody Jesus ever called, He called them openly and publicly. Made a woman with issue of blood step right out in the open, say, 'I once touched you, Lord. It's me. I'm the one.' There's something about stepping out openly and publicly just settles it for all eternity. Preacher Bob don't know about another. God bless you, honey. God bless your heart for your honesty. God bless you. Preacher Bob don't know about another. Come on to Jesus, would you? Come on to Jesus. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Invitation still open. Hey, God bless you, young lady. I just like to press home Jesus' question. What do you more than others? Hey, folks, that others crowd ain't getting it done. That others crowd ain't going to reach our youngins for the Lord. We're going to have to get beyond that others crowd. We ever see anything accomplished for God? Come on to Jesus. Hey, with you tonight, it may not be a personal need. It may be the need of another. And you're looking at a face right now on the wall of your mind. You just like to get around this old altar and call that name. Pray for him. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. Hallelujah. What a God's blessing. Amen. I was in a meeting. I did something I don't normally do. I saw a woman deeply troubled. I walked back and I said, "What is it, honey?" She said, "It's my boy." I said, "What about him?" Said, "He's lost. He's going to die and go to hell if he don't get saved, preacher." I said, "Why don't you get in that altar? Call his name to God for conviction." She said, "You don't understand, preacher. I've been to that altar 40 times for my boy." I said, "Honey, how many trips to the altar is that boy worth?" Huh? I'm asking you tonight, how many trips to the altar is that girl worth to you, mama? How many trips to the altar is that boy worth to you, daddy? God bless you, sir. God bless you. How many trips to the altar is them grandchildren worth to you tonight, church? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, honey. God bless you, man. Amen for your honesty. Come on to Jesus. You won't ever regret it. You won't ever be sorry in this life or the life to come. If you'll just mind God. Hey, he's a big God. My, how we ought to be a praying big. Hallelujah, this season. God bless you, young man. God bless you, sir. God bless you for your honesty. Hey, folks, there are enough people, Charles, in this altar to turn Burke County upside down for God. And he's this God enough to take him and do it. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I feel God in this place, preachers. Hallelujah. You be obedient to him tonight and you won't ever regret it. Father, Lord, I thank you, sir, for these honest hearts. What you're doing for these, my friends, around this old altar. One of these days, sir, on the far side of Jordan, we'll bow again. Thank you and praise you when we have more adequate words, Father, and we're equipped with this evening for what you did for us Monday night in the old Burke County Camp meeting down yonder just out of Valdez, Morgan, to North Carolina. Lord, we love you and we need you and depend so, Father, upon you. Jesus' blessed name I do humbly pray. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Amen.